Welcome to Scope It Out. In this episode, Dr. Smith will be speaking with Dr. Jeff Sue. They will discuss the article, Aggressive Necrotizing Pseudomonal Sinonasal Infections. This edition of Scope It Out is sponsored by Medical Center Pharmacy, leaders in topical sinus therapy for chronic sinusitis and polyp patients. Founded in 1990, MCP provides innovative formulations that combine steroid, antibiotic, and antifungal treatments. These medications are instilled directly into the sinuses using various devices. Successful insurance billing, thorough patient education, and prompt delivery are why physicians and patients trust MCP as their premier pharmacy. Please visit www.mcpnc.com or call 1-800-930-8785 for more information.
Hello and welcome to Scope It Out, the podcast of the International Forum of Allergy and Rhinology. I'm your host, Dr. Tim Smith, and today I'm very happy to be joined by Dr. Jeff Sue from Los Angeles, California. We will be discussing his article, which is currently available in Early View online, entitled Aggressive Necrotizing Pseudomonal Sinonasal Infections. Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Tim. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Well, great. You know, these infections that you've reported on sound absolutely awful, and thankfully, I don't think I've seen one myself as of yet. I'm wondering, how were you able to put this group of cases together?
So this series came about from a few of us noticing that with patients presenting with very, very severe sinus infections, with also associated symptoms very concerning for either a cancer or invasive fungus, such as cranial neuropathies, that what actually turned out to be the cause of this, of the etiology of these infections, was actually Pseudomonas, as opposed to the much more aggressive lesions that we've seen in other cases.
Right. So I assume you were at a meeting and talking with some of these colleagues from around the country, and somehow this topic came up and you guys started sharing your experiences.
Yeah, a lot of the times that's how some of this research comes about. I had a few patients that presented with these infections, and Kevin Welch at Northwestern and Dr. Chandra at Vanderbilt also had, you know, a few patients of their own to contribute to our series.
Oh my gosh, it's really interesting. So if you would, how many of these patients, there were six patients that you reported, how many of them were your patients?
So we had two patients at UCLA with these findings.
So describe a patient presentation for us. Describe what they looked like when they first came in and how you went about the process of figuring out what was going on.
One of the patients was an elderly woman with severe diabetes that presented to the hospital with complete blindness. So her optic nerve was out on the left side. Full imaging workup was done, including an MRI scan and a CT scan, and it showed erosion of the bone from the sphenoid sinus into the area of the optic nerve. And there was concern at that point, of course, for a malignancy or maybe an invasive fungal process. So it was a pretty aggressive presentation for her case.
So with her presentation, especially with the diabetes, I mean, I don't know if she was in ketoacidosis or not, but you probably were initially thinking something like a fulminant invasive fungal sinusitis with mucormycosis, for instance.
Right. That was our first impression, and that's why we kind of determined this was a very urgent case. We decided to take her to the operating room as soon as possible.
Then I guess in this case, it could be either a fulminant invasive or it could be a more indolent invasive form of a fungal sinusitis. But either way, you're going to the operating room with that patient to try to get a diagnosis. Okay, so
Right. Keep
going with that presentation.
In this case, when we, you know, ended up ultimately taking her to the operating room to do the endoscopic surgery to open up the sphenoid sinus, there was not fungus that was in the sphenoid sinus, but rather the sinus was full of purulent mucopus. And then on the lateral wall, there was just necrotic tissue kind of overlying where the mucosa and the bone would otherwise be in the area of the optic nerve. And a biopsy of that tissue demonstrated bacterial debris and necrosis, but no fungus at all.
Hmm. So you got, I assume you took some of this mucosa and you asked the pathologist to look at it in frozen section emergently.
Sure.
So that you could look for invasive fungal organisms there.
Right. We were concerned initially for an invasive fungal process causing this amount of bony destruction and these cranial neuropathies, but the
Right. Frozen
section was negative for any fungus or malignancy.
Gosh. So you're in the operating room. You've got a wide sphenoidotomy. You've performed some cultures. You've taken a biopsy, which is negative for invasive fungal organisms in the mucosa itself. And so what did you do next?
The biopsy was negative for either a cancer or a fungus, and I proceeded to wash out the sinus cavity to remove all the mucus that was on the inside, and then, you know, I deferred to permanent to see what would finally come back in the tissue. You know, continued the IV antibiotics, and at that point, because of the aggressive presentation, the infectious disease doctors kept her on her IV antifungal medications as well.
Yeah, I imagine so. Was she in ketoacidosis, do you recall, or just sugars?
Yeah, she was a type 2 diabetic with poorly controlled diabetes, but not in ketoacidosis.
Okay. So time goes on. How did you come across this diagnosis of the Pseudomonas infection? How long did it take, I guess?
Initially, the gram stain showed the gram-negative rods, and then the cultures finally came back as Pseudomonas aeruginosa. And it was a little bit of a surprise considering, again, we see so many of these infections in our sinus patients, even in our patients that are immunocompromised, and it's rare to have this aggressive of a presentation.
And she'd not had previous sinus surgery before.
Yeah, no prior surgery, no real history of chronic sinusitis as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because it seems like when we culture people's sinuses, it's the post-surgical patient that's more likely to be colonized with things like Pseudomonas, right?
Absolutely. Common things being common, patients that haven't had recurrent sinus infections or chronic sinusitis tend to have the common bacteria, and Pseudomonas is not usually found.
Right. Okay, so at this stage, she had probably been on broad-spectrum antibiotics. Were they covering this particular strain of Pseudomonas, the antibiotics that had been selected previously?
Yeah, the Pseudomonas wasn't any type that was multi-drug resistant. It was common. It was susceptible to the common antibiotics we would use for Pseudomonas. And,
yeah,
you know, she had been treated with that Pseudomonas, you know, prior to the operation, but it really only had been, you know, a day. You know, in retrospect, it's possible the antibiotic itself would have worked, but we never would have come to the diagnosis without the surgery itself.
Right, right. I mean, I guess that's what you wonder about is, now, was the sphenoid sinus, was it opacified at the time you went to surgery?
Yes, it was opacified on the imaging.
Okay, so probably with blindness, unilateral blindness, and opacified sphenoid sinus, you're going to the operating room, right?
Yeah, especially in someone that is, you know, compromised, and in this case with poorly controlled diabetes.
Okay, so tell us about how she progressed after your surgery. Did you need to go back for further debridement or surgical treatment, or was it all medical management at that stage?
We had thought about it. So in discussion with the medicine service and the infectious disease team, who were still really suspicious for an invasive fungal process, there was some debate about whether or not we should go back to the operating room for a second look and maybe a repeat biopsy. But at that point, I was so confident it didn't have the classic fungal debris in the sinus cavity. And if the biopsy, which I felt was sufficient, showed no cancer, there was no reason to really go back and the sinus was open. So we just treated her with the IV antibiotics. She got a long course through a PIC line. She began her sinus irrigation. And some good news for this patient in particular, her vision slowly came back over the course of the year.
Oh, it did. And yeah, that's the other thing I noticed in your study is that the courses of antibiotics were months and months, and the complete resolution was measured not in days or weeks. It was measured in months on all of these cases, I think.
Yeah, and that was a little bit of a learning point for me, too. Often when infectious disease physicians or medicine doctors see patients with bony erosion in the sinuses, which we sometimes as rhinologists see with mucoceles and other expansile lesions, they consider it more to be like an osteomyelitis picture and
right,
treat it for much longer courses of IV antibiotics than we typically do for our patients.
Right, right. But it seems like they, in your opinion, these patients are requiring these very long courses of IV antibiotics in order to completely resolve. You even report at least one of the patients had recurrence of their disease after a couple of months.
Right. There is some risk of relapse, especially if they, you know, remain immunodeficient or immunocompromised in some way.
And interestingly, Jeff, not all of these patients were immunocompromised. I think half of them, at least, it said in the table in your paper that they were actually immunocompetent patients. Am I reading that correctly?
And then that also is surprising because we can imagine that in the right environment, someone that is immunocompromised, these infections that otherwise would be more indolent would become very aggressive.
Right.
But yes, three out of the six patients in our series were immunocompetent and had just a severe localized infection with the necrotizing Pseudomonas, which can present with this bony erosion and the cranial neuropathies.
And I also found it interesting that you guys found these infections in the sphenoid sinus. You found them in the maxillary sinus. At least one patient had, a couple of patients, I think, had pansinusitis. So it wasn't as though you could localize it to a sinus or to a particular region of the sinuses.
Right. And I think in some of these cases, we might not understand why they can have these severe gram-negative infections with these really aggressive features. And again, the vast majority of our patients don't complain of these symptoms.
So based on your experience with these two patients and then studying the six patients that you've reported in your series, what are the pearls that clinicians should take away that I guess should raise their antennas about the possibility of this particular infection?
I think it's just a good learning point for myself as well as for those of you that are listening, that anytime patients with the sinus infections present with symptoms that are out of the ordinary or unilateral, and in these cases, cranial neuropathies, facial numbness, or severe pain out of proportion to what's seen on the CT scan, there should be some level of heightened alarm. And in many situations, it is invasive fungal sinusitis or it is the malignancies that are causing these conditions. However, as we reported in the series, there could just be a bacterial cause, and the treatment will be very, very different. We just need to be aware that this is a possibility, although it's not quite as common. It would result in a different treatment than those other patients that I mentioned.
Yeah, it's a fascinating case series, Jeff. This would not have been on my differential diagnosis, and considering that patient presentation, I would have been, just like you, all about the fungus and all about the possibility of a tumor, particularly a malignancy. So thanks. I'm really happy you guys published this and brought it to our attention.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tim, for allowing me to speak on the paper.
Absolutely. I hope to see you somewhere soon, Jeff, okay?
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you for listening. Scope It Out is a co-production of the International Forum of Allergy and Rhinology and Wiley. All opinions in this podcast are those of Dr. Smith and his guests and do not necessarily reflect those of Wiley or of the sponsors.